Now more with Frank Gaffney.
Daniel Horowitz is with us. We're talking about immigration at the moment, but we're going to talk about a number of other things as well. But Daniel, I interrupted you, unfortunately, after the necessary break just there. Would you talk a little bit more about the kind of, well, it seems implied, if not explicit sense, many in our political elite, both, frankly, Republican and Democrat, have as to the right of people overseas to come into this country, even if they may well, based on, for example, their attachment to Sharia supremacism, turn out to be not just hostile to our system and way of life and so on, but determined to destroy it.
Exactly. But let's drill down a bit further. As I started saying before, let's say we would have a crystal ball tell us that none of these people will ever kill anyone. They're not going to commit acts of terrorism. Now, obviously, we know that the Sharia culture breeds the terrorism. But even if it didn't, shouldn't we only bring in people who love America, who are compatible with our values? This is not even a liberal or conservative thing. And as you noted from that CDC study, they said 513,000 women and girls in the U.S. were at risk for undergoing female genital mutilation. And they noted, here's the kicker, that is three times higher than the number they estimated in 1990. Guess what? The increase was almost wholly the result of the number of immigrants from FGM practicing countries living in the U.S. So it's all elective. It's imported. And that's the key. Lindsey Graham was saying, you know what? We should allow in people from these countries too. And they get the context completely backwards. It's as if, we only have a trickle of immigration from there and Trump is trying to stamp out the last remaining vestiges. It's the exact opposite. In the 80s, we didn't have any. In the 90s, we had about 50,000 a year. Next decade, it was about 100,000. Now we're up to, I counted from 49 majority countries in 2016, 179,000 green cards. And seeing what we see in Europe, the culture that it breeds, and then certainly the terrorism that it breeds, why would you do that? Why? It's that amount of that degree. To talk about a moratorium or a complete ban is kind of a straw man. Let's first talk about whether we should make Islamic immigration the fastest growing subset of our immigration.
Yeah, this is a crucial point. And one of the things that you may know, I had the privilege of participating in with others like Andy McCarthy and Ace Lyons, I believe, Jerry Boykin and others, was an amicus brief to the Supreme Court arguing that specifically we need to institute a measure akin to what we did with Nazism and communism in the past, namely to screen for Sharia supremacism. And if people have that as their operating code, shall we say, we've actually got enough of those folks in this country as it is. We don't really need or want any more. So thank you, but no thank you. That is certainly not the practice today. And let me ask you, because this is, as I said, very, very timely, our conversation. As we speak, the Congress is debating what to do about these so-called deferred action for childhood arrival or DACA individuals. They're talking about various compromises that might enjoy the president's support. Congressman Bob Goodlatte and others in the House have offered a sort of comprehensive immigration reform program along the lines of what President Trump has said is needed. What do you think's going on here, Daniel Horowitz? And what should people like us, who really care about the character as well as the security of our country, be urging our elected representatives to do at the moment?
So on a personal level, I don't agree with any premise of amnesty that we should even be talking about that at this point. However, I think the Goodlatte bill starts with the premise that everyone's clamoring to do this so-called DACA amnesty. So they say, all right, 700,000 and no more, and it's just non-immigrant visas that you're going to get, non-immigrant visas with green cards. But what is different about this than other deals in the past of promises of enforcement is that it immediately makes statutory changes to our entire legal immigration system. It abolishes chain migration. It institutes not just border security, but all the interior enforcement, anti-sanctuary city bills, asylum loophole, the unaccompanied child, minor children loophole that has turned America into a dumping ground. It's almost a wish list of not all, but many of the things conservatives wanted to do. So as I've noted, this should be the floor of where conservatives start any negotiation. But isn't it interesting how there's this emergency created by even Republican leadership in Congress? DACA. We need a DACA fix. The DACA fix. Where's the criminal alien fix? Why not immediately pass this bill that has, by the way, the Davis-Oliver Act, which is an interior enforcement bill named after two cops who were killed in Sacramento by an illegal, and it happens to be after 3 years yesterday that illegal's trial began, and he was laughing during the trial saying that he wished he killed more blanking cops. This is the emergency. This is the side of the story the media will not tell, the political class will not tell, and yet Republicans don't create this political cliff. We have a deadline. We have to pass criminal alien legislation. We have to pass security legislation. No, they don't do that. So I think the significant thing here is that two committee chairmen, who happen to be the committees with jurisdiction over this issue, signed on to the bill, sponsored the bill. So this is a pretty positive development. Personally, I think the Freedom Caucus should make this as a demand for any budget bill. Rather than attaching the flake amnesty bill, they should attach the good law enforcement bill.
And of course, in the Senate, as we speak, there is a strong push to do a citizenship deal for these DACA kids and you know, promises of other improvements down the road, including on border security. But I'm with you, Daniel. This is a floor. And if they wind up pulling apart the good lat bill, let alone not enacting it at all, I think that they're going to find that there are a lot of Americans who are simply going to let this Congress, this Republican-controlled Congress, go down the tubes. They may not vote for the Democrats, but they're certainly not going to turn out to return the people who have failed so abysmally to deliver on their promises, particularly in this space. And I don't think it's any exaggeration. We talked a little bit about this earlier, but to my way of thinking, Daniel Horowitz, and I'd be interested in yours, you've got your finger on the pulse of the American people pretty clearly on this, but my sense is that Donald Trump's two-word commitment, the wall, was as powerful an impetus for his election as practically anything else in his platform, if not the most. And it would be an enormous betrayal of those voters for Republicans to go with an amnesty that sets the stage, really, let's be honest, for more of this illegal immigration, whether it's of childhood arrivals or of a whole host of others. And I really want to thank you for the clarity that you bring to this, Daniel, specifically on the stakes for our country, our culture, our civilization, really, as well as perhaps our physical security. And Daniel, one of the other factors, of course, in all of this is the role that judges have been playing. And you've written a magnificent book on this subject, Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America. And we won't do justice to this in the remaining time of this block, but we'll keep going on it. But I did want to introduce the thought. Donald Trump's promise specifically to stop importing more jihadists was immediately, well, shut down, I guess you would say, certainly stopped by an assortment of federal judges. Just very quickly, Daniel, what have been the implications of those actions in this regard, the safety of the American people, for example?
Well, we have a government shutdown. You know, it's interesting that everyone's just panicking about the prospect of a 17% shutdown of the non-essential bureaucracies. But you know what? We have a permanent shutdown of our political system. This is not the system we adopted in 1789. When a federal district judge, by the way, it's not created by the Constitution, it's a creation of Congress. Congress oversees them. Could just flick their wrist and put a nationwide injunction on sovereignty, on immigration laws, and in the case of DACA, mandate that a president do something illegal. and violate national sovereignty.
It's unbelievable. Hold the thought. We have to come back on that very subject and much more with Daniel Horowitz, the author of Stolen Sovereignty, How to Stop Unelected Judges from Transforming America, right after this.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.